This week on Erotic Awakening, kink education, travel fatigue, semenology cookbook.
Welcome to Erotic Awakening, an exploration of all things erotic. If you are offended by adult topics or prohibited by law, we recommend you stop listening right now.
We want to thank our latest Patreon supporters, Ken,
Talia,
and Lucian.
Head over to patreon.com/eroticawakening today and get your bonus content and support the show.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dan.
Today on the podcast, we are coming to you from somewhere in Oklahoma as we make our cross-country. We're like geese. We're making our cross-country migration from West Coast events to East Coast events.
It's actually kind of funny. I saw Canadian geese for the first time in months on our ride a couple of days ago. A couple of hours ago, like maybe a state ago.
Oh, were we in Canada?
No, I'm assuming they're migrating. So we were not in Canada this time around. I think we were in Texas, Oklahoma. I'm not sure.
We are going state to state at a pretty rapid clip.
We are.
Today on the podcast, we are going to talk about, and Dawn, I will start off by just telling you or asking you this question.
Okay.
Where do you get your kink education from?
My kink education from, for the most part, I go to a lot of conventions. So I do real-time classes at real-time events for the most part. That's just me, Dawn. You know, that's my life. That's the way I do things. Every now and then it's online classes, right? We have attended some hypno, primal play, and a couple of other online live classes.
Well, there's a variety of cons, a variety of classes, a variety of Zoom things you can do, a variety of websites and more. Let's break it down a little bit though.
Okay.
So you started off talking about cons.
Yeah.
So, and for people that may not be familiar with what we're talking about is the, and there's, I don't know, 50 of these across the United States alone, as well as across the world.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In general, it is you show up on Friday, you stay around all weekend, you leave Sunday. And throughout that event, there is, it's, if you've ever been to any kind of convention whatsoever, it's the same sort of thing. You check in, you attend things, seminars, classes, workshops all day long. Unlike some other events at night, there's normally a play party, but that's dependent on which event you're going to. From a kink education perspective, you can target a style a little bit. There's general kink education like Kinky College.
Right.
There's rope specific like Fire down in Florida. I think it's held in Florida. We're not rope people. We don't know.
We know there, who runs it, but yes. Not necessarily where it's at.
There's those that lean more towards power exchange, lean more towards leather. Certainly those that lean more towards polyamory, but in general, those don't make it into the kink education realm.
Right.
So that's just to give you an idea of what a general con looks like.
And the latest one we just did was a hypnocon.
Yeah.
A hypno-kink con. Hypno-kink. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. So, but those are my favorite to go to because I can ask questions afterwards and stuff like that. But we're also coming out of, or at least it feels like we're coming out of COVID for the most part. But during COVID, the last 4 years, many people ramped up with online classes too. So, and we've been driving through some backwoods places. I don't even know how they get their kink education in person, right? So it's like, you know, farms on 5,000 acres or some shit, and they have to drive a couple of hours to the big city.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've been getting a lot of that. But
even the most recent, what you would consider a big city that we stopped at, which would be Tucson, Arizona. Tucson, is that right?
Tucson, Arizona, yeah.
I have to picture the word Tucson.
Right.
Tucson, Arizona. We did an education event there. But, you know, even in a town of, what did we figure that was?
500,000.
Yeah, it's not like you have a ton of options. So before we leave online conventions, what would you say is the biggest positive and negative to kink education at the online convention?
At an online convention?
I'm sorry, in-person convention.
Oh, at an in-person convention. So a negative and a positive. A positive is absolutely meeting the presenter, being able to ask more questions later, getting to interact with people in the audience. I'm an introvert. I don't really interact with people, but I do listen, right, to other people's questions and things like that. So the whole energy, the whole vibe of that, I love that. The negative is I'm an introvert and I also resist that. I don't like doing partner things and stuff like that. So I can get overwhelmed, but that means I need a hotel room close by so that I can go chill. So, so for me, the pros and cons are
Just one each,
just the
'cause we
same.
for me, the pro is not only I tend to, you know what, boy, I've got two that I'm struggling with to say the one I'm going to say, but the one I'm going to say is the very fact that I'm learning with other people sitting next to me. It says to that other people are nodding at what I'm nodding. Other people are saying or asking the questions that I was going to ask. It very much makes me feel like I am not some freak out there on my own, right? Because there's 30 other people sitting in the same class that I am, learning how to put needles through things or whatever we're learning that day. The big negative, of course, for me, and I think that a lot of people have to face, is cost. The in-person convention is the most expensive of all of your options.
That's true.
Not only are you paying, whatever, $100 plus for a weekend event, but then you have to add the hotel, travel, and food. And it can be quite spendy to attend these events. It's challenging to say you'll attend, be able the average person be able to afford more than a few a year at best.
Yeah, so that is a big limitation and a good reason to have the online events. Some of those are free, some of those have, I mean, even online conventions have a cost to them. So it's normal there's going to be a cost, but some online conventions can be free, some have a sliding fee scale, so you can find those.
Oh,
But
that's true.
do you know the whole reason I brought this up? This
I
whole
do not
education thing?
know.
Well, for one, in 15 years, I don't know that we've actually talked about where you can find education, like all lumped together. We talk, little pieces over time, but we've never lumped together. But I'm on a Facebook group, so an alternative lifestyle Facebook group, and a lot of the people on there are brand new. They found kink during COVID, so there weren't cons to go to, there weren't that type of stuff. And I'm finding out that they have no clue that there's education out there. They have no clue about
Which
the
is bizarre.
conventions. They have no clue. They don't know about FetLife. Some of them recently don't even know about FetLife yet. They are so brand new. And they're like, oh my God, I have this thing. And we're all on Facebook going, well, have you tried Fet? And I feel like I'm back to years ago when Fet was new. And people are like, no, what is that? Right? And so then they find Fet, and I'm making a list on this Facebook group. And I'm like, oh my God, education, kink education. Unlike 20 some years ago when you and I were trying to find it, right? And it was underground and hidden, and people kept everything so private because it was so risky to be out there. And it's still a little risky now, but not like 20 years ago. And I'm like, there are so many options, and cons is just one of those. And like Dan said, literally, there's a weekend convention. You pick a weekend and you look around the country, and I bet you there is at least one. I mean, people that put on major conventions try to make sure there's not other major conventions in their region that people will have to split trying to figure out what ticket to buy.
Yeah, one of the great things, and we'll talk about that shortly, is, and certainly I'm not the guy that's going to say anything good that came out as a result, or that says good thing we had COVID, but it did change a lot of these conventions to be a lot more hybrid, where you could either be online or in person, or just straight up online conventions are now a thing. And we'll get to the online stuff in just a moment.
Yeah, I was going to say that I've got examples of both there.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
But let's
so,
stay with the in person for a little bit.
okay, so in person, not only do you have conventions, though, you have a lot of local groups that do education in person. So, we just did Desert Dominion in Tucson, where we taught chemical play. So people got to be there in person and try it out. I mean, that's a cool thing. You get to demo it, right? Or try what you learn later in the dungeon. So that's always a plus to to being there in person, but you've got a lot of groups. You've got MAST groups and NLA groups and, regional groups and dungeons and, places like Board of Education in Detroit, I think that is.
Correct.
You've got KIC in Columbus. You've got TESS in New Jersey, New York. I mean, the Woodshed does classes.
Sure.
I could list tons of places around the country.
And here you're getting away from some of the negatives. And I don't want to say are positive and negative for that. I'm saving that for a moment. I still want to do those. But like, for example, distance is not much of as much of a barrier now, right? You may not be close to a major convention. For example, if you live in Columbus, Ohio nowadays, there's no major conventions in Columbus, Ohio, but you've certainly got local groups you can attend and have your learning happening there.
Absolutely.
So don't ask me what my positive and negative for in-person classes is.
Okay, so positive. What are your positive and negatives for in-person classes, Dan?
The positive is the same one that I'm going to say for the conventions, is that you still get the in-person other people sitting next to you nodding their heads at the same things. So my positive is the same.
Okay.
My negative is, and I want to say this with a grain of salt, I don't want anybody to be offended or concerned overly about this, but in general, your local events are vetted differently than your major events.
That is true.
Let me expand on what I mean by that. Your local events are pulling often from local people, right? These groups don't have budgets to bring in presenters from out of town often. And it's a great way for new presenters to get their feet wet. I guess what I want to say here is that your local event presenter may be a little less polished, may be a little less experienced in presenting. That's what I want to say for that. That's going to be my negative for that one. It's not always true, but certainly when we run local events, we are very open to having the local person say, I'd love to try and teach hair bondage, and I've never done it before. Sure, come on in.
Speaking of which, we may have that person on the show at some point.
I
I've
hope
already
so.
talked to
Oh,
them.
good.
That was years ago that they did that workshop. But you're right. But with that in mind, we started local. That's how we got
Absolutely.
our chomps. How do you say that? That's how we got our chomps into
Why
presenting,
not? I could
something
love
like
that.
that. So we started local, and every national and international presenter has a local group.
Yes.
When we go back to Columbus, and we'll be probably presenting for MAST. But every time we visit back, they try to pull us in. We're the local person that's not seen as the international or national
Oh,
presenter or whatever. So,
And that's a great experience as a presenter as well,
yes.
right? It's not like you're the invited guest. It's you're just some guy.
Right.
Yeah, we've seen you guys.
So in person can be fabulous, but let's move on from in
Oh, no, wait a
person.
minute. What's your positive and negative for in-person
For
classes?
in-person classes,
Right. And this again, this is your local workshop, your local group.
my negative is going to be so weird, and it just popped into my head.
Okay.
Parking.
Hey, that's not bad.
Negative is parking when it comes to local groups, because a lot of them are held in places like the places that they can afford to rent, or the
Sure.
place that's in the dungeon are don't always have the best parking. Which is, and I think I just, that may not always be true, but it is like a couple of places just popped into my head, and I went, oh, that means I have to go parking downtown. That means I have to go, things like that. So sometimes the location where they're at is not always convenient. So I'll put
Right.
it that way. And that's just the first thing that popped into my head. The positives, obviously, we just went to Desert Dominion in Tucson, and the positive, three people were at our workshop that had just joined the community like 3 days before
Yeah,
that,
that's neat.
right? So they get to come in, and like you said, they get to sit next to people that have been doing this for years. They get to talk to me, and I'm saying, well, I've been doing this for 20 some years. You're fine, right? Yes, you're in your 30s and you're just getting involved, but I know people that didn't get involved until they were in their 70s because they
Yeah.
were so afraid, So just to give them that nurturing and that sense of belonging and that sense of, oh, there's other people like me, and you get to build those friendships. We went out to dinner with a couple of people in that group while we
Yeah.
were in town. So we get to have that interaction, and online is different from that.
Yep. And so since you're going to chop out my previously poorly formed positive and negative, I get to completely switch it now that the positive I'm going to say is the social aspect of it. It's a great way to actually meet the local people in your community and see that you are indeed just part of of people that believe and view and see things kind of like you do, at least in a small way. And the negative would be just that you're limited in what you're going to learn, right? As you said, we just presented for Desert Dominion. That was great. We presented on chemical play. If you're not interested in chemical play, well, come back next month because we'll be doing rope. Oh, that's not really my thing either. No problem. Next month after that, we'll be flogging. Oh, great. Well, that means we're at at a large weekend event. You got dozens of classes all over the place. Your local events might take a little while before you get to what you're looking for.
True, but you also get to be vocal with what you're looking
Very
for,
true.
and
Yeah.
they may try to find that for you, because
Yep.
if it was like us at the space, we were always looking for topics that people were
Sure.
looking for
Sure.
to do
Absolutely.
that. So that would work as well. So yeah, pros and cons for doing things in person, but still my preference for the most part. But my next preference would be online.
Okay.
And some of the people that we just had dinner with, we never would have met if it hadn't been for online, because one of them has been coming to all of my, or at least most of my, like Eros Gathering online classes because they're interested in sacred sexuality and energy work. So I actually got to do a Reiki session with them at the dungeon.
Now, when we talk about online, we're actually going to have to break this down because there's a lot of online options. You are actually doing a fantastic amount of Zoom classes lately.
I am. So I couldn't give up the teaching when COVID hit. We lost the space. We lost being able to produce events. We lost being able to see people in person. And I needed, even being the introvert that I am, actually being the introvert that I am, Zoom is wonderful for me, right? So, and I get to interact with people that way. And after 4 years, I'm still doing that. So I do at least three Zoom classes a month now. I
And you're
don't
talking
run the
about
older women's group. I
you're talking about
do.
presenting classes, not just attending.
Right. So for me at the moment, I'm talking about presenting classes. So I present the classes, I run the older women's support group. Every now and then I'll run a submissive round table. You've run, the master round tables. So, there's a lot of education and classes available that way.
Yeah. So you can get out there and they're listed all over the place, whether it's needles or rope or more brain things like relationships and all that. There are a ton of Zoom classes out there, and not just Zoom classes. We're going to say online classes
Online
here
classes.
because you have Zoom, you have Discord, you have all these different platforms, and people are teaching now online, and it has just become much more of a common occurrence here that, hey, I'm going to this class. I'm not leaving my room. I'm not putting pants on. I'm just going to fire up Zoom and attend this class.
Right. And like I said, people are using a lot of different platforms besides Zoom. There's so much stuff out there. But for online classes, if you want to find them, most of us advertise on FET.
Right.
It is just the platform,
FetLife.
FetLife, FetLife.com. So it is just a platform that most of us know to go to. We hit events, we hit virtual, boom, there's your list of virtual classes. I was just looking for hypno classes the other day. So, just go in there and look for that. Forbidden Tickets is a new platform. You don't even have to go to FetLife. You can go straight to Forbidden Tickets, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. So all of our classes are advertised there. It's a ticketing system. So if a class involves tickets, most of us have gone to Forbidden Tickets instead of some of the other platforms because of their adult content rules. So Forbidden Tickets is specifically for adult content, and there's tons of classes there. Many of us advertise on Bloom. So
We've recently did an interview with a person that runs Bloom Communities, and so that's just another platform. Earlier, I mentioned Discord, and although this is true that many things are taught on Discord, Discord you actually have to know the server that you want to be a part of beforehand. You can't just generally search Discord.
Right.
Doesn't really work that way, but Discord is absolutely another option. Plug Discord. Erotic Awakening has its own Discord server.
Exactly. So, yes, we have our own server. We have great conversations on there. We have different rooms on different topics and good conversation.
So your turn to go first. Pro, a positive and negative for online classes.
Oh, can I say online conventions too? It's not
Oh, sure.
just classes, because one of the hybrid online slash in-person conventions that we just did was Charmed, and that was the HypnoKink one. And then there's Thrive, and Thrive is totally online. I have taught for them before.
So Thrive is, if I understand correctly, more of a neurodivergent sort of convention,
Yes.
specifically targeted for the neurospicy crowd.
Absolutely. And it's all online. And amazing classes, amazing presenters. So Thrive, I will also put that link in the show notes.
We just attended MSC as an online event
Oh,
as
that's
well
true. Attended and
and
taught. So
taught.
pros and cons. Pros is it makes it much more available to so many more people, right? I mean, so many more
Now,
people.
I want to step back for a moment, make sure you're answering. Remember what we're doing here. The positive is, what's the positive for Dawn?
Oh, what's the positive for Dawn? The positive for Dawn is I travel a lot to in-person conventions as it is. And when I travel, I have to make decisions on which classes to go to, right? The online ones that I've been on recently is I'm sitting in my RV. It doesn't matter what state I'm in or how close I am to an airport. I'm in my underwear, and a lot of the classes are being recorded that I can actually watch later. So if I'm a
Yeah, that's
ticket
great.
holder, I can actually watch the recordings of the classes that I missed. And I did that with MSC. There was like three classes that I was not going to be able to make because we were teaching, and they were classes that were recorded, and they're available for a certain amount of time as a ticket holder. And then I listened to them while I was riding my trike on the bike trail the next day.
Awesome. And
So
do you have a negative
a
for
negative
online
on
class?
only if we had not had internet connection,
Yeah.
because we are traveling. So this is a Dawn thing. If we were traveling and didn't have internet connection, I wouldn't have been able to join.
Yeah.
Where if I was in person, I would already have been there.
Yeah, my positive is very much like yours in that I am much less restricted by time. All I have to do is set aside the time that the event, that the class is happening. Not the hours of travel to get there or anything else.
I don't have to worry if I'm COVID positive, or I don't
Sure.
have to
Or
worry
if
about
you
being
are,
sick,
if somebody else
or
is.
if somebody else is, or anything like that. I'm kind of like in my safe bubble. The con would be you don't really get to have that energy of being with other people like you, but then again, you do. So.
So my positive, same as yours. My negative. Please, oh, podcast listener, understand this is a damn thing. I hate that while someone is teaching, that the chat menu, the chat bar is going
Oh,
on
it's
and people
going
are
crazy.
having all these weird sidebar conversations. Example, the presenter says, one time when I was in Oklahoma, when we were teaching, when somebody else goes, ah, good old Oklahoma, somebody else says in the chat, oh, that's my favorite musical. And in the chat, they start talking about musicals.
Like
I get it. I
conversations.
get it. The world has moved on, and that's the way we do online meetings now. And it, but for me personally, I find that disruptive,
I turn
and
the chat off.
I'll just turn the chat off. Not a big
Yeah,
deal. Just sharing my experience.
even if I'm teaching, sorry guys, but we minimize the chat screen, because and then we ask the person that's hosting the event to read us the actual questions, to actually filter through it for the questions.
Now,
So
Don, with the time of the podcast, and I don't want to make this a two-parter, I want to kind of bundle these next ones together, if you don't mind.
absolutely. So we need to get on the road, and wanted to make sure to have a podcast for you.
So there's a variety of websites that are specifically designed for teaching. For example, Kink Academy, you can go out there and see a ton of online pre-recorded workshops.
Yeah, we've got some out there too, but I mean, they have people like Lee Harrington and Tristan Taramino and just a lot of the big names that do a lot of work.
Anybody you can think of, as well as, people maybe from your local community out there on Kink Academy and similar websites. I can't really speak well. I'm only going to say Kink Academy because I am aware of a few others. I will honestly say I just haven't spent the time getting to know those websites well enough to recommend them or not. I'm sure there's other great ones out there.
Oh, yeah. And if you guys know of any, pass them our way because we may not be aware of them. There's so much to choose from anymore. Absolutely.
Of course, our own website, Erotic Awakening, classes on demand. We offer those as well, free for patrons often, or discounted, and they're relatively inexpensive anyway.
Yeah, that's our latest offering. So we've recorded the last 6 months of Zoom classes and edited them. And yeah, so lots of information out there on stuff that we teach.
And of course, it's so funny, Dawn. Right now, you and I are listening to a book called Fairy Tale by Stephen
By Stephen
King.
King.
We are about 4 hours in, and there's not been a supernatural thing happen yet, but I've read this before. I know it's coming. But it is so funny that the one of the characters, every time he has to accomplish something, he says, "Well, let me go YouTube that. Let me go YouTube that."
Right. And I'm like, oh my God, he learned that so much younger than I did. How long has YouTube been around? Like forever. And I still forget that I can go to YouTube. But there are a lot of YouTube channels out there that have podcasts like ours and classes and, just all kinds of information.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ones out there as well. I just, Don, I'll cover this with you later, and we can put some links out there. But there's a couple of them I've got on my list that are really great. And we will also say that not only YouTube, according to my younger follower Tracy, TikTok is also the home of a lot of education, as well as some of the other social media platforms.
But this is where I'm going to have one of my little rants in that I really wanted our stuff out there on TikTok and such because what I was seeing out there, man, you don't know. People that are out
I think
there
this
are
is your
not
negative.
vetted.
This
This
is
is my
your
negative.
negative.
This is my
So,
negative.
Dom, tell me about your positives and negatives for, let's call it, social media as a teaching platform. And by this, we mean YouTube, TikTok, Insta, whatever. And maybe social media is not the right term, but you know where we're at with this, guys.
I
Dom,
know
what's your
where you're
negative?
at.
Let me I'll finish
So,
you. Let you finish your rant.
first, my positive. The
Okay.
positive is it's in little bite sizes. We are doing a hypno certification right now, and the way the guy teaches is in little bite sizes. It's
Yes.
little 3 minute videos, little 4 minute videos, little 5 minute videos. You don't have to sit there for a freaking half hour. And did you just hit
I
the
just hit the ground in the coffee
ground?
warning about earlier. I'm gonna see the video on that later.
Yeah. So, and though I love our classes, which are 45 minutes long or whatever, when you're learning something like a certification, it's neat to get it in little bites. So, I love social media stuff for that, the little bites. What I don't like is there is no vetting. There are people out there saying all kinds of bullshit on these little itty bitty clips. And I mean bullshit, not just difference of opinion. I mean, wrong things. And there's rare times that I say someone is wrong. I'll say they're different. They have a different opinion. They have a different experience. But wow, that's why I wanted to get our stuff out there.
We'll come back to that in a minute because I have an interesting story about that, or not
Okay.
that specifically. We'll
Okay.
get there. We'll get there. Let me
Okay.
finish pulling these coffee grounds. You ever, oh, coffee drinkers, take a
Aren't
big old
you?
swig of coffee and the bottom of the cup is all grounds? But you're in the middle of recording a podcast, so you can't do much about it.
So now you have wetness all over your shirt
Yeah.
and grounds in your teeth.
Okay.
I warned you because it had already happened to me. It wasn't my coffee, it's hotel
It
coffee.
fair. Well said. And then the other platform that we're going to talk about, of course, is podcast. And while
Absolutely.
obviously Erotic Awakening is a podcast, we consider ourselves a place of kink education among the other things that we do. And I would certainly say we are the longest running kink education podcast in existence. And I
That's
think that is
still
true.
putting out shows. And I hope we are, because I've been advertising us like that a lot over the last year
It is
once
going
they
to be,
figured that out.
it is so funny to think of. So there's a particular podcast called History According to Bob. It is not well known. It is not popular.
But I loved it.
And I love it as well, but I am just afraid that somebody with like 20 followers is going to say, nope, we've been doing ours for 18 years. We just hate advertising. We don't want anybody to know about it.
So, no, I'm pretty sure that we are the longest running that's still putting out shows,
Yes.
is how I caveat that.
Other podcasts, including Pink Kink and K is for Kinky, have just this different spin that we don't have, which makes them valuable as well.
And all kinds of podcasts on various specific topics, even. I mean, you've got the cuckoldress, right? Vina Cuckoldress, and you've got a few other podcasters that we've actually advertised or interviewed on this podcast. So to get them out there and for other people to get to know them, because there are so many to choose from right now.
Yeah, and I am sure by the time we are finished saying that particular sentence you just said, four more have started and six more have stopped.
Right.
That is, for example, Cauldron's Crypt ran well over 100 re episodes recently, starting to move into that retirement phase, is what I've heard. I can, yeah, we could sit here between the two of us and name probably half a dozen podcasts that we've been involved in or that we are aware of or listen to that are no longer in existence. But that's just the nature of podcasting, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And you guys know we've come close to retiring, thinking about retiring ourselves. And then we'll get that email, that visit, that something that says, "Oh, you guys changed my life. I
Yeah.
found you when I was looking for something." And I'm like, "Well, we still need to stay around for a little bit longer." So, you know, and we have fun doing this. We're actually, like I said, sitting in a hotel in Oklahoma doing this quickly put together podcast, just so that there is one, so that this isn't 2 weeks without a podcast. So, yeah, well, we're winding down. What are your
Right, positives and negatives.
positives and negatives of
The
podcast?
positive for me about podcast and is that there is such a diverse group of people listening with such a diverse group of such a diverse level of opinions, views, and such. And I'm going to say that's a positive. So on the Pink Kink Facebook page, somebody said all submissives should have safe words. And I responded by saying something like consensual non-consent would like to have a word with you. Right. And this led to a conversation that, and I don't think the conversation ever got to the point of where some people didn't hear each other, and that's fine. Some people certainly said, oh, I see your perspective now. But this, see, to me, this is the positive of a podcast in that you've got this thing, this property, whether it's Pink Kink or Erotic Awakening or whatever, and you've got a fan base, and that fan base is all over the place, and they get to hear content, digest it, and then share about it. Hey, here's what I think about that. Here's my experience with that. I think that's a very positive thing, and one of the things that I enjoy about it. We run into the problem of, and this isn't necessarily a problem, but we, in general, our friends are very similar to us. They are in long-term power exchange relationships. They are, in general, in our same age range. When we go to conventions, there's a barrier to entry. You can travel, you can afford it, right? Podcast has none of that. The people that I interact with, all over the place.
Hell, we don't even know their ages sometimes,
Absolutely.
or where they're from, or whatever.
The negative, I would say, is that here today, gone tomorrow. My absolute favorite podcast in the world is called Walkout Boys. It's got nothing to do with kink. And then one day, for no reason that I am aware of,
They just walked out.
they just, maybe, you know what? Maybe this is the best long-running gag ever.
Walked out.
Right? It's so, boom, just gone. So you might have, oh, I'm passionate, I love this thing, and it just one day disappears.
Yeah. So,
Positives and negatives for you
of
on
podcast,
podcasts
in
for
that
education.
there is so many podcasts to choose from, which is the positive and the negative.
Right.
Right. So there's so many to choose from that I find myself trying to weed through them to find ones that I like. And then I just give up and stop listening.
Yeah.
So, and then every now and then I'm like, oh yeah, podcast. I hope there aren't other people out there that do the same thing as we have a podcast, right? But I'm sure they do. And it's just that there are so many. And like you said, and sometimes I will get into one that I absolutely enjoy and then find out they only had six episodes.
Yeah,
And that's
that's crazy.
frustrating, right? And then I'm like, oh, I love that so much. I'll do one like that. And then realize how much time it takes. And no.
I think, you know what, Don? I'm going to go ahead and pull that. This is going to be a two-parter because we can't short shift the rest of the aspects of education.
And you were thinking this wasn't going to go too long.
No, I thought you covered a couple of things, but really,
Right.
there's
There's so much out there.
yeah.
And you're right. What we have left on the list really needs some time involved in it. And we really need to get on
We do need to get on the
the
road. After
road.
all, if you're thinking about, Dan and Don, why are you guys always talk about getting on the road? Well, we have in-person events in Maryland,
Ohio,
Pennsylvania,
Indiana,
Chicago,
Michigan,
Kansas City,
Las Vegas.
and more.
And more. I think we're getting more stuff on the schedule as we
If you want to
talk.
know what the and more is, how would they do that?
So they can go to eroticawakening.com and get on the newsletter. So keep up with all of our events, book news, discounts, and more via the newsletter.
And get your EA shout out like Jonas from DC.
And Brad from X,
X.
whatever X is.
Head over to eroticawakening.com and subscribe today.
Exactly. So I also wanted to throw out there before we're done that on our Discord channel, I thought this was so funny. Minotaurus posted a link to ideas for the next romantic dinner. And it's a link, and it's a three-course meal from the Semenology cookbook.
And so, do I understand semenology? Because I have not seen that link yet. It's a cookbook based on semen?
Semen.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. And all the recipes have semen in it. So I hope you're fluid bonded, for one. For two, I wonder how the prep goes into that. So do you shoot into a beaker and then the beaker goes into? What if you're an ounce short or a milligram short? I mean, you can't really control what you're gathering,
Well,
or do you have a group of guys, or are they
you know
going
how
straight into the mix?
I was just thinking if you're saying if they're come up a little bit short, you remember the old thing how you knock on your neighbor's door and borrow a cup of sugar?
Exactly. So are you doing that? And let's say it's a pineapple upside down cake, right? And people say, well, if guys eat pineapple before, then their semen is going to taste like pineapple. So if you want your pineapple upside
Upside.
down cake to taste more like pineapple, are you feeding pineapple to your dudes? And what if one of them messes up and has had asparagus? Are you putting asparagus in your pineapple cake?
Can I just
I'm so
ask,
confused.
Minotaurus, if we ever come over to your place and you offer me some cookies, I'm just going to give you a side-eye glance and ask specifically what's in them. I'm just going to say
What
that.
cookbook did you get that
Yes.
recipe from?
From the food on boobs, speaking of that, there are none, but you do have some tentacles.
I do have a few tentacles, do I? Oh, yeah. Well, not just tentacles, but people have been starting to send me shapeshifter stuff. So Travere sent me Velma and a werewolf. Now, I have a thing for Velma anyway that I didn't really know until recently, but yes. And werewolves, yes. And then a pen and ink of a girl on her knees with tentacles for
That was pretty hot,
Minotaurs.
yeah.
That was really hot. And then through Instagram, Corwin sent me an Octo Citrus Reamer. And it is literally for fruit.
Okay. Oh.
It does not look like it, and it has the name Reamer on it, but it is for fruit. It is like to juice like citrus, grapefruit,
I
stuff like
saw
that. But it
Octo Reamer and gave it a quick glance. I did not get as far as to say what it was actually for. I assumed it was for as well, my
Well,
imagination.
it kind of looks like a butt plug,
And then
doesn't
also we got
it?
a very cool chandelier. I think this was via Instagram that someone built. I can't remember who sent us that. I apologize for that, but there's a very cool chandelier.
Awesome. So, all kinds of neat stuff that comes in.
Be a part of the Erotic Awakening community.
You can support us on Patreon and get early access to the podcast, a free version of the audiobook Polyamory Toolkit, free ebooks, member-only Discord access, and more.
Find all the goodies at patreon.com/eroticawakening today.
Help others find us. Take a moment to support the podcast. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Or just tell your friends.
Join the conversation with us and other listeners.
Here's the link from the Erotic Ranking website for our growing Discord channel.
Feel free to reach out to us.
Contact us with questions, podcast comments, or just to say hi.
We are Dan and Dawn on FetLife
and Erotic Awakening on Instagram.
Or just email us at danandawn@eroticawakening.com.
Bye, Dawn.
Bye, Dan. So tired. It's nap time.